This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 222 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I are back to discuss all of the action from the season opener at the Australian Grand Prix. And it's safe to say, season openers in recent years have been decent-ish, but if ever, Jamie, there was a claim that Albert Park should always be round one, I think today has proven that. First of all, though, actually, before we get into anything else, I want everybody to head down into the comments and say congratulations, because Jamie has ran a marathon today. Tell us about it. You did very well. I feel like a proud mother hen.
Wow. What a treat to have Matt being nice to me. Unbelievable. No, I did. I was up at 5 Italian time to watch the start of the race. Had to leave at 6 in the morning to get into town in time. So I saw... If you've seen the race, this will be quite funny to you, but I saw the first half, which wasn't so interesting as the second half. And then, yes, went into town, ran a marathon, 4 hours and 12 seconds, which is slightly frustrating, but I'm still pleased with myself. And yeah, now I'm here and I kind of want to go to bed, but we move.
There you go then. So, I mean, like I said, I genuinely, when Jamie messaged me that, I was just very impressed because that's, I mean, as you can probably tell by his voice, he's not even feeling very well.
I've been under the weather all week since about Wednesday. So
a very,
I thought it was curtains, but yeah, the nosebleed at 39 kilometers wasn't fun.
Did you seriously?
I just carried on. I was like, screw it. There's only 2k left, 3k, be fine. But yeah,
and just tell viewers, you said you're in Italy. What marathon was it?
I am. Rome. It was quite cool actually. Ran it in a Ferrari cap to feel very patriotic. They had live bands playing around the track.
Nice. So,
before the race, we had the Italian national anthem. I was like, this is sick.
Did you feel like you were part of
the Fosse? I felt a proper Ferrari fan, exactly.
Good man.
Yes.
Good man. Well, I mean, like I said, everybody's got to give Jamie some credit down in the comments below, because that is very impressive. But, you know, this isn't going to suddenly become, you know, a podcast of Jamie talking about how he prevents nipple chafing and things like
that. Oh, my nipples are fine. Don't worry about that.
Oh, that's all right. It's good to know. but we are here, obviously, to discuss the Australian Grand Prix. Quickly as well, a little bit of housekeeping. We're up to 861 subscribers. As Jamie and I have said, stop just lining Google's pocket. If you're not already, please help us get to 1K subs. So we can start monetizing the channel. We have, though, just ticked over 100,000 views on the podcast. Oh, nice. YouTube channel as well. So a massive thank you to everybody for the support. But let's get in then, Jamie. Albert Park, Australia. As we came into the weekend, it was already looking like it was going to be interesting, wasn't it? Because from very, very early on in the week, it looked like the entire weekend was going to be sunny, apart from Sunday.
Exactly. There was rain forecast. Most of the teams thought it was coming before the race weekend started, so that always leads to a pretty good race, especially when we're used to Bahrain season openers, which obviously the threat of rain is basically nil. So yeah, it was like, and also the most rookies on the grid in a very long time, so you're like, wet race, no wet testing this year, that's gotta be fun, hasn't it?
Well, like we said, we put predictions in last week about who was going to be the first rookie to pin it, which of course we'll get into when we get there. But free practice, I mean, it was a first free practice of the year is always going to be a bit interesting, isn't it? Of course, obviously it was like 2 in the morning for us in the UK. I'll get up for qualifying, I'll get up for the race. But basically from what I noted was Behrmann spent most of free practice crashing. Then Liam Lawson also had a few issues as well. But Australia is kind of one of those weird circuits where you either just have like a small off or a massive shunt. And it kind of seemed like everybody that wasn't called Ollie Bearman was just having kind of small offs here and there rather than fully binning it. But it did mean by the time we got into qualifying, though, I think it was something mad, like Bearman had done 12 and a half laps of Albert Park by the time he got into Q1. And it would get no better for him because immediately gearbox issues. I think he only has himself to blame because of his crash earlier on, or crashes earlier on in the weekend. But he went out, did half a lap. The car wouldn't go, I think, out of like third gear. So immediately had to come back in. And that was Bearman's qualifying over for round one of the year.
Mm. Yeah, straight away out of the qualifying session, last on the grid. And to be fair, his teammate didn't fare much better, did he? Because the Haas spent the entire testing period doing what they did last year and just doing high fuel runs and no competitive times. And everyone was like, oh, they're actually all right again. It's just they're not doing any fast times. But they were both out in Q1. So maybe are Haas really bad? Or was it just a bad circuit for them? Who knows? Or maybe they just had a great driver last year. But we'll get onto that later on.
I'm sure we will.
Yes.
I mean, Ocon, I don't know what it was. I haven't really heard anything about it. But he just seemed nowhere. And I think it was probably a combination of, well, of the track just didn't suit the Haas car. At least I hope it was a bit of that as well, because I want to see Bearman do well this year. But Haas just seemed, you know, whether it's going to come out fairly soon that they've put all their focus on next year already, but they seem like, even in any kind of running, they seem worse than Sauber, which is a pretty bad benchmark to kickstart the year.
Yeah, exactly. And like all weekend, they were the slowest car, weren't they? Realistically,
pretty much.
Sauber weren't far ahead, but they were ahead, which is telling.
And, but when you consider how bunched up how bunched up the entire field was, you know, it was the fact that the Haas seemed to be a little way off everybody else was not very good for them. I mean, another person this weekend didn't go well. Liam Lawson had issues in FP3 with the car, and qualifying, he was just, I mean, everything we've ever said about that Red Bull over the last few years absolutely just bubbled to the surface. And at least with Perez in previous years, he's normally got kind of three or four good races in him at the start of the campaign. Lawson out in Q1,
you're writing off Liam Lawson already.
I'm not going to write him off necessarily, but it was, I would say, a worse season opener than Perez ever had for Red Bull.
He was out in Q2 on debut, wasn't he, in 2021? But,
was he?
Yeah, he went out in 11th in Bahrain and then stalled on a formation lap. So Lawson didn't do great. And to be fair, the onboard of his last Q3 attempt,
it was just ragged.
The car was not behaving here. Yeah. And going up against Verstappen, obviously, it's going to be hard, but he should be doing better than a Q1 exit. And likewise, Kimi Antonelli also deserves a bit of heat because, yes, the Mercedes doesn't have as high a high as Red Bull, but you still shouldn't be going out in Q1, even if you're a rookie, to be honest.
No, but first ever, I'd say, I'll give him a little bit of sympathy there. You know, first proper kind of aggressive running. Again, you know, he should have been making it into Q2 anyway, but as we'll discuss later on, he was absolutely then the rookie that proved himself on Sunday when things got challenging. So we'll give him a little bit of heat temporarily, but he did do a very good job recovering.
He recovered
that.
It very well.
Exactly. Q2, Lewis Hamilton decided he was going to try and attempt his, you know, now he's racing for Ferrari, 7-time world champion at Ferrari. You have to try and start rigging qualifying sessions to benefit yourself. Hamilton was looking a bit ropey towards the end of Q2. Span brought out yellow flags. That basically stopped anybody going quicker than him. So he made it into Q3. Q2 was a bit less eventful. Shout out, Jamie. Because Gabriel Bortoleto out-qualifying Hülkenberg on debut.
Yeah.
I give you a bit of stick for that in the group chat.
Yeah, fair play.
That was quite funny. He was joined, though, out in Q2 with Jack Doohan, who, again, was quicker than Gasly in Q1. But just couldn't get the lap together the second time round. Stroll, 0.03 away from Alonso. And Hadjar, very unlucky, narrowly missing out on a Q3 appearance as well on debut. It kind of
best
felt,
rookie.
But it felt like all of qualifying, that the rookies we expected to do worse did better. Like, it seemed like a complete flip of the script, at least in qualifying. Because, Hadjar was best rookie, which was, I don't think anybody really predicted that.
Very, decently as well. Doing was matching Gasly in Q1, and they got
even quicker
Hamilton's
than Gasly.
Yellows.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have made Q2 anyway, but he would have had a time.
No.
You know, he ended up 0.7 away from making Q3, but he would have been a lot closer had that final lap
definitely.
Been able to keep in. But really, I mean, all weekend up to that point, and well, actually, let's be fair, it was from then on anyway. McLaren, it just felt like they have the quickest car, the best all-round car, and they seem to be the only ones as well that could actually hang onto the tyres for an entire lap. And although when we got into Q3, Oscar made a mistake on his first run, Lando got his first lap ruined, there was still never really much doubt. Lando took pole, Oscar got within a tenth of him, Max Verstappen ended up P3, I think 3.5 tenths away was the gap in the end. McLaren just looked like they had a bit more, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And I'm surprised that people were getting excited when the McLarens both messed up their first runs. Because you had, I mean, lap times, aren't they? So McLarens went a 15.3 or something in Q2.
Yeah.
And then Piastri was on a provisional pole with a 15.9 on his first run. And people were getting so gassed that Leclerc and Verstappen both beat it. And it's like, well, of course, that isn't a competitive time for a McLaren. So keep your feet on the ground. And they put half a second on it until Verstappen improved, didn't they? So, yeah, shame for Piastri, but he was always that step behind. And I think Norris on pole was pretty predictable, certainly if you ask me. And we'll get onto that later.
Well, it was exactly what you predicted in the end. Spoiler alert. Russell, though, I mean, this was just a quintessential George Russell weekend, wasn't it? Of getting sensibly everything out of the car, nothing more. And, I mean, he carried on into the race, didn't it? And then you just end up with a good result. Shout out to Yuki Tsunoda, P5. I mean, that was a middle finger to Christian Horner and Helmut Marko immediately of, you should have put me in that car, not Liam Lawson.
Exactly. I'm not sure he wants to be, based on
I don't think he does.
Terribly every driver does next to Verstappen.
Well, I was going to say as well, with Alonso's efforts throughout the weekend, it wouldn't surprise me if we see Tsunoda at Aston Martin next year. Albon as well, you know, Williams, the first time in 20 years they got both cars into Q3 at Australia. Albon as well, getting the better of Sainz, which was fantastic to see, because everyone was saying, you know, Albon was going to be absolutely kind of showing up this year. I mean, Albon outqualified both Ferraris, who it did come out after qualifying, apparently had completely focused on a wet setup ready for the Grand Prix.
That went well.
But not great for them in 7th and 8th, with Sainz in 9th in the second Williams. And yeah, Pierre Gasly kind of snuck into Q3, but it was quite clear that Alpine wasn't as quick as everything else.
Yeah, exactly. And that took us on to Grand Prix Sunday.
Yes, it did. I mean, immediately, before we'd even got into the race, obviously, Formula 3 and Formula 2, Formula 2, the feature race got completely cancelled, which I believe means Joshua Dirksen is leaving the championship, which I absolutely hate. F3, they kind of did the typical, there was a crash late on as it started raining, they brought out a safety car, got so far enough into the race that they wouldn't have to restart it, so it didn't. Which is a bit of a shame as well. We had Liam Lawson and Ollie Bearman had confirmed they were going to be starting from the pit lane. I think Lawson was to change rear wing components, and Bearman's as well. Obviously, he was having to fix the car. So, you know, we all got up the crack of dawn, ready to go, weren't we, Jamie? And then Isaac Hadjar makes, admittedly, it was an unlucky mistake, but a rookie error, which was not fantastic. Yeah.
It was an unlucky mistake, but no one else made it. So, well, not at that point anyway,
exactly.
On the formation lap. So you got to put some blame on him. I think you could tell in his interviews how disappointed he was in himself. It's a shame because he was 11th and was looking like a decent car. And yeah, threw it all away, turn one on the formation lap, not even the GP. So just lit up the rear tyres, spun the car and out the race. Straight away. So DNS, he's actually not made his debut officially yet.
Yeah, technically he hasn't, has he? That's mad. I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah, he's still technically running to Shanghai. Going to make his actual race debut, which is quite impressive.
Be rookie of the day in Shanghai.
Wonderful news. I mean, yeah, it was unlucky for Hadjar. I mean, Helmut Marko's come out saying, you know, he's a man, he shouldn't show emotion. You know, all the crying, bless him.
Oh,
but
yeah.
We've seen before with Hadjar.
Helmut Marko belongs in like the 70s, I'm not going to lie, if not earlier.
I was going to say more the 1950s or something like that.
But
yeah, not a weekend for Hadjar to remember in the end, which is really disappointing for him. Because I tell you what, You probably haven't seen many of them, Jamie, but some of the reels and TikToks that VCarb are putting out at the moment, their social media is nailing it. They are so funny. It's actually made me start liking Isaac Hadjar quite a bit.
He is quite amusing, isn't he? I do like all the rookies. There was a 20-minute video that F1 put out on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
The Rookie Roundtable. Very amusing. So, would recommend.
Laura Antonelli Winter looks claiming so fed up.
Oh, she's like a teacher trying to keep kids behaving. But yeah, where they were like, who's going to win out of the rookies? And Antonelli immediately shouted Alonso. I quite like that.
Laura Winter that just did good. Not understand it. But yeah.
No.
I mean, yeah, Hadjar, like I said, obviously was... I mean, it was kind of a little bit unlucky in the sense of... It's only the street circuits where not all of the white lines are painted by the FIA. So, of course, obviously, the normal white lines just had no grip on them, as we'd see pretty quickly from a couple of other drivers as well. But yeah, Hadjar out of it before it even began. That then left us with a 10-minute delay on the race restart to try and clear up the car. But we did finally get going, didn't we, Jamie? And immediately, I mean, everybody was just tiptoeing around.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Max Verstappen got past Oscar Piastri on the exit of Turn 1 with a good switchback after a slightly better launch than both McLarens. Charles Leclerc threw Lewis Hamilton under the bus instantly by running him out of road down at Turn 1, which is a bit of a shame to see. And that basically meant he spent most of the afternoon staring at the back of Alex Albon. But it wouldn't take long before Albert Park claimed its second rookie of the day. Jack Doohan, I think he was really unlucky, to be honest, because he was just trying to follow the car in front and just got on the throttle at the wrong time. It reminds me, all of them, of Julian Palmer back at Monaco in 2016.
I was about to bring that up as well.
Of just, yes, it's a bad error, but ultimately, it's kind of one of those horrible ones where it feels like someone's got to make it to remind everybody else not to.
Exactly. I do feel for Doohan, because at least his was under racing conditions. But immediately, out the race, and a safety car straight away. And I was not amused by Martin Brundle asking for a red flag, by the way, on like 4 or 5.
When did Martin Brundle go so woke? Couldn't believe that.
Exactly. I was like, we've got a race on here. Let's keep going. But under the safety car, which Jack Doohan bought out, another driver who is not a rookie made the error as well. And Carlos Sainz, under safety car conditions, out of the race. Almost exactly the same thing. He just got loads of torque on in the last corner. I think Williams are trying to paint it like it wasn't his mistake, but it just was. Feel bad for Sainz, but also he's in what, his 11th year of F1 now, so you gotta be a bit more switched on than that, especially under safety car conditions. That's Lance Stroll, he's getting crucified on social media.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, Lance, I was literally just thinking that Lance Stroll would have been absolutely sold down the river for that one. And I honestly think, again, like I said, Doohan was probably a bit unlucky, because it was just as he upshifted, was obviously just upshifted at the wrong time. If he'd upshifted a tenth of a second earlier or a tenth of a second later, he probably would have been fine, because of course obviously it just allowed the wheels to spin up on him. Sainz was, again, kind of unlucky, but he's got 10 years of F1 experience under his belt. He should be better than that as well, which is a bit of a shame. But yeah, like we said, obviously that then brought out, well, Doohan had already brought out the safety car before Sainz binned it. We did get going again on lap 8, and very, very quickly, Jamie, I don't know whether it was the same for you, but I got a bit worried that, I even said to my dad and girlfriend when we were watching it, I was like, this is now going to be one of those races where the biggest issue we have with these ground effect cars, I think, is that every single race it feels like that is changeable conditions, they can only use one line because they're so heavy. And I wonder if the ground effect's part of it as well, but they just suck up all the water off one line, but then can't do anything off of that line. So everybody just has to follow each other around.
I do think that's always been the case, to be honest.
Literally thinking, 2010, fantastic Australian Grand Prix.
Yeah.
It is a problem that was with exactly these the cars. Same.
No, but that was the same where for a long time you could only use one line. The difference was that track dried generally a bit quicker, but for a lot of the race, they had to follow the single track, and that has always, I think the way the cars dry up the water is by shifting the water off the racing line. So in a way, until the sun catches up and dries the track naturally, that is going to be always the case. I think the ground effect doesn't help because they spray a bit more than they used to. But yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
I don't mind a wet race, to be honest.
I don't mind a wet race, but say it was kind of very quickly looking like it was going to be kind of the quintessential ground effect wet race of just nobody can do anything. I mean, these cars, well, as we talked about last year...
Brazil last year.
No, I was going to literally use Brazil as my example, and we're going to have this argument again, it would appear. These cars, and Brazil proved it last year, you cannot do anything in the rain in them. You just get a lucky red flag, which boosts
unless
you up
you're
the
Max order. Verstappen.
He's exactly the person I'm referring to there. I tell you what, though, there was one driver early on, though, Jamie, that admittedly was overtaking cars that were a bit slower than his own, but a lot of people weren't able to do it. Antonelli was making moves.
He was, but he made one move on Hülkenberg, then spun, then made it
and
again.
And then made the same. Wait, no, he caught Max Bortoletto as well, though. He was making a few overtakes. I think he came from like P16, obviously claimed a couple from the lap one chaos, but then still was moving through. He was the only driver that seemed able to kind of make mistakes.
Yeah.
To be honest, Antonelli,
it is a telltale sign of a very, very high quality driver, because some of his races in the wet at F2 last year, I think he won a feature somewhere in the wet.
Silverstone.
Which is like
there were like
going.
Three safety cars, and every single time the safety car come in, he'd just pull away. He is.
Yeah. So I do think
natural talent, Matt.
My prediction of Antonelli being dropped by the end of the year for Carlos Sainz by Mercedes is not going to be one that I'll live to remember, I don't think.
I hope not. But I mean, yeah, it was very early on, kind of like I said, that, I mean, like Lewis Hamilton, for example, was just stuck behind Alex Albon.
Yeah, but he's got a tendency to do that, hasn't he?
I think it was also the fact that, I mean, Ferrari engineers just yelling at both of them in their ear constantly about stuff that they already knew what to do. I mean,
yeah.
How
I really see Lewis
see
losing
the
his
Ferrari
patience
quote?
At some point.
Did you see the quote with Leclerc? Yeah. My seat's full of water. What's going on? Oh, it must be water.
Yeah, exactly. And they,
like, how
yeah.
do you come
I think
up with... Oh, man.
Lewis had to say twice, please don't talk to me. And
they still.
I feel like if
he
wasn't the new kid on the block in the workplace, I think he'd have been like, shut something up.
Yeah, exactly.
But he kept his cool because he's being all professional at the moment. But if Leclerc keeps shoving him off and his engineer is being so useless, I don't know how long that will last. To be honest.
I think he'll get fed up quick. He'll stop making his own calls, I think, very quickly. The only other real thing that happened in kind of the first half of the Grand Prix, wasn't it? Was Max Verstappen did make a bit of an error, which immediately let Oscar Piastri by, and it was pretty much from there that, like we said in qualifying, McLaren was the only team that seemed to be able to keep the tyres in good nick throughout an entire qualifying lap. That carried over into the race of, as everybody's intermediates started falling away, McLaren just left the rest of the field for dust. I mean, they were putting that over a second a lap on Max at various places. They built up like a 20-second lead.
We knew, because they didn't put the timings up for a long time, did they?
No, the graphics are awful, man. I hate the new graphics this year.
The little exclamation marks for under investigation. Who cares? We know.
Exactly. Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
And they've still got a fastest lap icon when there's no point for it.
Exactly.
Why?
No one cares anymore. So stupid. But then it would be another one of our rookies, wouldn't it? Making a mistake on lap 34. And again, was a little bit unlucky. But again, you know, he's... the kind of thing that you'd crucify his teammate for, and he, I think, would crucify the drivers for as well. Fernando Alonso, dare I say it,
exactly.
Jamie, I think it's over.
I disagree.
I think it's over.
He outqualified his teammate. He was running
by
ahead of it
three
the whole race.
100ths. And let's be fair, when your teammate is Lance Stroll, it's not exactly a great benchmark.
A win is a win. I thought Alonso was doing all right, and then suddenly the crash didn't. Obviously, yeah, came to an end pretty sharp. But it was under racing conditions. He's on very, very old intermediates. I think I can forgive Alonso the most out of anyone who crashed like that. Although he does have 22 years of experience.
Exactly. I think my favourite bit about it was one of the most notorious Fernando Alonso like stands on Twitter that is just incredibly toxic and things like that. Put out a tweet on Saturday night of Maldonado's crash, going, we need more drivers like Maldonado back in the day that were quick but so crash prone. Obviously, Alonso did basically a carbon copy the next day, which was just hilarious.
Yes, in the wet. You can forgive him a little bit.
It was pretty dry by that point.
You're just a professional Alonso hater, that's the thing.
I
and he didn't even go wide. So he didn't put a wheel on the gravel. The car ahead of him actually went wider.
I think the rear wheel was slightly worse. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. But yeah, that immediately brought out another safety car, which everybody then was like, we're just going to take the gamble now and move over to dries. Apart from Haas, because Haas, I don't know.
I guess they got to try something different, aren't they? They've got their last, you know, there's no point doing
they had
the
no
pace.
Else. Yeah, they had no pace. So it was a bit of a disaster for them. So they tried to kind of throw a caution to the wind. It immediately looked like it wasn't going to work, so they then kind of went back the other way.
Exactly.
And then, they were on the dry tyres with everybody else anyway. Lap 41, finally the race will be restarting. But immediately, teams are on to their drivers going, there's going to be heavy rain for like 5 minutes in three laps time.
Yeah.
And exactly three laps later, McLaren's coming through the final sector. Both of them go off. And Lando Norris gowns it up very, very well. Oscar Piastri, I knew at that moment that my bet for the Australian curse to be lifted was over. He was a bit unlucky with it, but he just got overzealous trying to keep in the throttle because he knew Max was right behind him. And I think had he not got back on the throttle and tried to gather it up earlier, I think he could have actually jumped Lando. From where Lando was kind of a bit all over the road, the advantage they'd been able to build up Max early, I think Oscar could have. That was Oscar's chance to get past him, but completely messed it up. Shout out, though, for the fact that that wasn't a DNF for him, because I think most drivers would have then just got it stuck in the mud.
Yeah, and he was very clever with it, reversing out of the grass in like using it like a front-wheel drive car, basically.
Yeah.
Until he was on the tarmac runoff area and then was able to get going. But he lost a lap, was it? I wasn't
near
watching
enough,
at this point.
Near enough, an entire lap. He was like 4 seconds in front of Lando.
Yeah, yeah. And to be fair, Max kept it on the track because obviously he saw both McLarens going wide, so he took it a bit more cautiously and got back up into second, which didn't look very likely at one point. But yeah, I do think Piastri will blame himself for that, definitely.
Oh, entirely. And he's only got himself to blame.
Norris went wide too, but did a much better job of like slowing down and keeping it on, like getting back on the track quick enough.
Yeah, yeah. That was the biggest issue for Oscar. Like I said, I think he saw obviously Lando had actually gone off wider than Oscar did, but he just scrubbed off the speed and got back on. Oscar Piastri, I think, tried to keep his foot in a bit too much and ultimately then just could not slow down through the corner. Also,
and the way the championship might go with how fast this McLaren's looking, that might be really important.
That could be defining immediately. I mean, I also want to give Lando Norris a bit of a shout out here, because that could have in that moment been where he got flustered, but maybe he thought back to Russia 2021, but he immediately then was like, right, I'm boxing now, instantly, which was, as we later found out, was absolutely the right call. Because he dived in immediately. Max Verstappen stayed out. Tsunoda stayed out. Hamilton stayed out. Hamilton, in the space of three corners, gained about 4 places. Which, even now, I'm still not entirely sure how he managed. As Leclerc went for a spin. But the rain just kept falling down, didn't it? So, by lap 46...
Yeah, and it looks okay. Max was going on his slicks, not that much slower than Norris on his inters for a few laps, but then it got more intense.
For a lap, so really.
It wasn't going to be... It wasn't going to be viable to stay out on the dries, so they all boxed. Norris was back in the lead.
Well, they didn't all box.
Well, most of them boxed, unless you were driving a red car, then you all boxed.
I hate Ferrari, man, already. It's been one race, and I hate Ferrari.
Yeah, got to get used to that.
I mean, to be fair,
I don't know what they were thinking.
To be fair, Lewis Hamilton did lead a lap, technically.
He did. Because he would win the championship on laps led. Well, second.
Yeah, Max obviously pit the end of 46. Hamilton stayed out there, led over the start-finish line, led through turn one and turn two, and then immediately Lando got past him. And I thought for a brief second it was going to be a masterstroke by Ferrari, because then immediately we saw 2 yellow flags out for Lawson, who'd stacked it at turn one. I'd argue probably the unluckiest of all the rookies.
Oh, yeah.
Because he did
was
on dry tyres.
There was no chance there, because it was bucketing it down at turn one.
and then Bortoleto as well had binned it through the final sector.
Did you see, by the way, Bortoleto's left rear was already hanging off before he hit the barrier? It was obviously his own spin.
Yeah, what I've read about this was it had actually been a crash with Lawson earlier on in the race.
They'd
come together, which had created a weakness in that rear corner. So he still binned it. He was going out of the Grand Prix anyway, because obviously he crashed and ran off the side of the car. But it was just as he tried to put the throttle down, it's obviously he was facing the wrong way. Just the torque ripped that suspension apart.
I was worried for a second that Sauber was made of spaghetti.
Yeah, that was what that didn't cause the accident. He was going out anyway. But yeah, obviously just that rear suspension collapsed in the process.
The Sauber replies on their finish result post was all Brazilian Twitter being like, why are you sabotaging Bortoleto with a broken left rear? It's like, come on.
Oh, man. I love it. Bortoleto
was doing very well.
He made his own mistake, like we said. But yeah, he was doing pretty well up to that point. And I thought in this moment, I was like, right, call that red flag. Lewis Hamilton restarting P2. I love it. Sadly, it was only a safety car again. And that meant Ferrari had to box both cars. And they ended up worse out than they were beforehand. P9 and P10. Yep. What a debut for Ferrari for Lewis Hamilton of welcome to Italy, my friend.
Yeah, this is the strategy team. Nice to meet you. Nice not to meet you after that, certainly not. But the big winners out of that were, obviously, Norris was back in the lead. Russell still third for Verstappen.
Yeah,
he was. But Stroll and Hülkenberg were two of the guys who, and Antonelli, were three of the guys who went four inters at the right time when Norris did. And it gained them a lot of places.
It did. So it suddenly just appeared. Fifth. Yeah.
Or fourth? Was he ahead of
Albon? He was fifth. Yeah.
With Stroll and Hülkenberg sixth and seventh in their green machines.
Exactly. Absolutely wild. We finally get going again on lap 52. Lando again would just pull away from Max a little bit and then actually apparently picked up damage through turn six. Which is what caused the pace drop off again, right towards the end.
Yeah, Max was right on him at the end, wasn't he? I thought we were going to get a last lap Max send just to take them both out. But
I thought we might. I genuinely think that last lap was symbolic for this season.
I do, yeah. I'm very confident about my preseason predictions of Norris first, Verstappen second. I don't know if you're thinking Verstappen in sixth still behind both Ferraris, but
I want to believe. but yeah, I think that was quite symbolic for. I think if Max. I genuinely just think Max coming to this year not expecting to be fighting, to be honest. You know, he'd said it all weekend. Don't get me wrong, you know, he did an incredible job this weekend and again, you know, kind of proved that he is carrying that Red Bull team. I think there's a different argument to be made there. But still, absolutely carrying that Red Bull team. You know, and to get that car into that position still by the end of the race was obviously a very, very good job. But I think had he felt like he's got a world championship to fight for this year, I think he might have tried to do something. But I also don't believe, you know, as McLaren came onto the radio to Lando, Lando just needed to stay on the island and Max couldn't do anything about it still.
Exactly.
Which was important. And I think that might be kind of symbolic for, you know, Lando Norris maybe last year could have made a mistake or Max could have gone for it. The fact he didn't, I think, showcases kind of where his mind is at the moment. Of 18 points here was a big result.
Big win, yeah, exactly. And I think without a lot of development in a few teams' favour, you're looking at McLaren winning the majority of races this year.
You're looking at Flexi Wing still, aren't you? That's the big one.
Yeah.
If Red Bull come back after from Spain onwards and are suddenly right there again, I think there'll be a lot of questions kind of called. But I think that's kind of where you're going to be focusing. Lando obviously crossed the line first. Let's again, Jamie, just quickly, I want to give Antonelli another shout out because he was again one of the only drivers that still, I mean, throughout the entirety of the Grand Prix seemed able and willing to go for moves. Was given a 5-second penalty for, I think it was against Hülkenberg, wasn't it? Illegal exit from the pit lane.
I didn't see
that. Then got rescinded, but he jumped Alex Albon late on in the race for P4 on debut. Yep. Which from 16th
less than 2 seconds,
grid, exactly.
Less than 2 seconds off Russell, as well.
Was easily for me rookie of the day. Easily.
Well, he's the only one who finished, wasn't he?
No, Behrman.
Oh yeah.
Which, based on the fact Behrman done 13 laps all weekend, and based on his Brazilian GP last year, I think it was honestly quite impressive that he was the other rookie that finished. But I think, again, when you kind of look at like that raw innate talent, I think it goes to show why Antonelli and Behrman are higher rated than the others as well.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that. Although Behrman, caveat with obviously some wet weather experience already in Brazil, which none of the new rookies had. So that kind of hurt.
Still useful, but based on the rain, the worst of the weekend attempt, had gone.
Behrman's first attempt at driving in the wet went about as well as Doohan's and Hadjar's and Lawson's. Although Lawson was around as well, wasn't he? Who?
Behrman.
He got beached on a curb, didn't he? He got disqualified.
That's his own... Hang on a minute. He made a rookie error. It's nobody else's fault. Behrman beat Hulkenberg. I mean, he did also take Franco Colapinto out early run of the race, didn't he?
Still, and he spun about 16,000 times.
Yeah, but he didn't beach it like Hulkenberg. Which, after qualifying, like I said, I gave Jamie so much stick. The fact that Hulkenberg finished the race... And to be fair, I will say, Sauber did deserve a good result here because they were so much closer to the rest of the field than anybody expected. But it was one of those ones where Stroll and Hulkenberg, especially, just late on in the day, kind of appeared in a good spot and no one could really do anything. If the track had dried up. But they did make the right calls, ultimately, and, you know, they got rewarded for that. But ultimately, it was one of those ones, wasn't it, where had the track dried out a bit more, they could have both, or Stroll could have finished 10th, Hulkenberg could have been 11th.
Yeah.
If, you know, your Ferraris, your Oscar Piastri have been able to get back through.
Exactly, but they couldn't. And I reckon both of them have probably got their best result of all season.
Well, Stroll will have done that 3 years in a row if this is his best result of the year. He just can only do well at Albert Park. No, Albert Park.
Oh, Albert Park, okay. Yeah. You know, there's a mad stat, which it's in my brain. It's not. I've not actually looked it up. But from 2012 onwards, Hulkenberg has finished 7th at Melbourne pretty much all but 2 years.
He does finish 7th here a lot, doesn't he? Bizarre.
Even in the 2023 Haas, which was his only points finish of the season in the GP, he still finished 7th.
It was 7th. Because Haas was like weirdly good that, or he was weirdly good in that Haas.
He was very good. Well, for some reason, it just didn't suffer with tire death. Like
Haas was just very good, on that circuit, wasn't it? I think was what worked.
Yeah.
I want you to quickly go on like racing records or whatever it is and find that quickly. That is a
he DNF'd in 12, didn't start in 13, then 14, 15, 16, he did finish 7th.
Yeah.
17 was with Renault, he finished 11th. And then 18, 19, I think he was 7th as well.
Yep.
And obviously no race in 2021. He wasn't on the grid in 2022. In 2023 he did. 2024... I think he was 8th, wasn't he? Or 9th, he was behind
Magnussen. Should have been 3rd, even I'll admit that.
That was 23, but 2024 was only a year ago. And then this year 7th. So it's like all but 3, which the variety of cars he's driven, to be that consistently 7th place is mental.
Absolutely mad. Absolutely mad. The fact, that's, I think, Sauber's joint 2nd best result in the Ground Effect era, I want to say.
No.
I think so.
Bottas in 2022 was picking.
But I think Bottas had a 5th and then a few other 7ths. So it's joint 2nd best.
Did not have a 6th in Spain? Am I making that up?
I thought that was a 5th finish. I think that was 5th place. That was their best result in the Ground Effect era.
In Imola, didn't he finish 5th as well? But regardless,
oh,
it was a good result.
Either way, it was just a mad result for Hulkenberg. I tell you what, even I was sat there afterwards going, I hope Audi do give him a car. I think it's safe to say that
he deserves a podium, doesn't he?
He does deserve a pony, even I can admit.
I would love it.
It would. I think it would feed families. I think, honestly. But there we go, though. Lando Norris took the win ahead of Max Verstappen. George Russell did nothing all race and got a podium in the most George Russell way possible. Antonelli in 4th. Albon in 5th after Antonelli got a penalty and then got it rescinded. Stroll in P6. Hulkenberg just ahead of Leclerc. Oscar Piastri, a mad move on Hamilton on the final lap. And I tell you what, that, I think, goes to show that don't race Oscar Piastri when he's angry, because he can be aggressive when he wants to be.
We need angry Oscar more, to be honest, because
in Baku,
he was well annoyed and he won a great race from him. Hamilton also got done by Leclerc. Did you see that running outside?
Hamilton got done by Leclerc, which also gave him front wing damage, which is how Oscar was able to get back past him as well. So, Charles Leclerc basically spent all weekend basically doing what Ferrari's pit strategy was trying to do as well, and just screw him over. But anyway, Jamie, let's go through. I want to quickly shout out my F1 fantasy team before we go any further. I know we won't talk about F1 fantasy on the podcast very much, but can we just appreciate the greatness that I had Jack Doohan, Gabriele Bortoleto, Fernando Alonso, Liam Lawson in my team, and Oscar Piastri, who very easily could have also retired, and I would have netted about minus 100 points from them. which was quite good going. I managed to score 30 just because McLaren absolutely carried me at the end of the weekend.
Not the best.
Not the my best weekend
team,
for me.
I don't have one, so there you go.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Your quiz. I want to do that.
You got to do the quiz first. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Because this is quite a fun one, I think. And thanks for the feedback in the comments on the quiz last week. I think, yeah, we're testing. We might do it occasionally, but I don't think every week. Also, how we missed Hakkinen decides. I don't know.
Did we miss Hakkinen?
Yep. Yeah. No Hakkinen. We got
me.
David Coulthard though, didn't we?
Of course we did.
It was the most rookies making their debut at one race
since 2010 Bahrain.
Exactly. So you got no time limit.
Okay.
But you have to name me the whole grid that entered the 2010 Bahrain Grand Prix and started the Bahrain Grand Prix.
Okay.
And if you get one wrong, it's done.
Okay. So Sebastian Vettel,
you should be good at this.
Mark Webber.
I was going to ask you to do it in order, but I thought that was a bit harsh.
In order?
But yes.
Well, the Grand Prix result.
The Grand Prix result, yeah.
Oh, I know. Fernando
Vettel and Webber,
won.
Correct.
Yeah. Fernando Alonso, Felipe Massa.
Correct.
Jenson Button, Lewis Hamilton.
Yep.
Michael Schumacher, Nico Rosberg.
Correct.
It was Robert Kubica and Vitaly Petrov at Renault.
It was.
It was Hülkenberg and Barrichello at Williams.
It was.
Force India was Adrian Sutil.
Yep.
And it wasn't, I don't think it was Paul Di Resta. He was 2011. It definitely wasn't Sergio Perez. It's going to immediately annoy me if I can't remember who was alongside Sutil in that car.
He's a bit of an obscure one, to be fair.
Yeah. He was.
You come back to him.
I'm not sure I want to, because I'm going to lose track otherwise. Because I just want to get that rattled off, because I know it would be on the corner, on the back of my mind. Who was in that second Force India that season? Wasn't Fizzy. He was already gone by then.
Yep.
Who was in that second Force India seat that year?
He finished
really
ninth, if that helps.
What, overall?
No, in this race.
Okay, that doesn't help much then. Was he German? No, that was Sutil, wasn't it, obviously? I know there was a German on the team, but obviously that was Sutil. Going to really annoy me. Right, I'll come back to that though. Sauber was Pedro De La Rosa and Kamui Kobayashi.
Correct.
Toro Rosso was Buemi and Alguersuari.
Correct. You're getting there.
How many am I up to so far?
You've got the new teams left, and I think that's it.
And the Force India.
And the one Force India driver.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Caterham was Jarno Trulli and Kovalainen.
Yep.
Virgin was D'Ambrosio and Glock.
Incorrect.
Was it not?
It wasn't
Glock
Jerome D'Ambrosio.
Year? Wasn't it?
It was Glock, and next to him was Lucas
Degrassi.
Unfortunate.
Was D'Ambrosio not there in 2010?
No, he wasn't there. He
I
the
can
year
get,
after.
Obviously, Senna was it, and Chandock were at HRT.
Yep.
And the thing is, I knew Degrassi was there as well. I'm still trying to think then, who was in that second Force India seat?
I think he's the most recent Italian to score until today. I might be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure.
The most recent Italian to score, not until today. Who was it? No, Giovinazzi scored points anyway.
Oh, Gio got points, didn't he? Yeah. No, that's not right then. He was probably the one before Giovinazzi, though.
Yeah, this is really annoying me. It wasn't...
Wow.
I said, oh, this is really bugging me. Because he was there in... Obviously, it wasn't just like a one season in, was it?
No, he replaced Fisichella.
Yeah.
When Fizzy went to Ferrari.
Oh!
And then stayed for 2010.
This is
You're
going to
kick
really
yourself.
Bugging. I am going to kick... Because I'm genuinely now trying to think of F1 2010, the game, and who it would have been. It's really
You often got
Force
India to choose from at the start, so you usually replaced him.
Who was it?
Debuted with
is
Toro Rosso.
So annoying.
I'll probably give it to you.
Debut for Toro Rosso. Oh, Liuzzi, of course.
There you go.
I always forget he did 1 year at Force India.
He's like your
Such
David Coulthard, isn't he?
He basically, yeah, apparently so. Yeah. Like I said, all I needed was nationality.
Let's know in the comments if you got more than
how many did I get?
20?
20, 21, no. Didn't I?
Well, you got 22 out of 24, but some of them were after you got already got D'Ambrosio wrong. So I guess yeah, 20, enough. Technically.
I think 20.
There you go.
I think so 20 out of 24 is not bad.
Not bad, not bad.
Got the entire 2025 grid. I'll take it. predictions recap then, Jamie. It's start of a new year. I'm what? 3-1 up overall when we've done these?
Something like that. I'm really bad.
Yeah, you're not that
I definitely won the first year. Made
you won
you tweet
the first
about
year,
Verstappen.
But I don't think you've won since. I think it's the problem.
No, I think you're right, yeah.
So I think I'm 3-1 up
overall. So it's all to play for.
Yeah, I allowed Jamie a bit of a start here.
You did, because...
So you said Lando Norris pole, 2 points immediately.
Plus two.
You said Lando Norris victory, so plus two.
Plus two.
You said Oscar Piastri P2, so nothing there. And you said Leclerc P3, so nothing there.
Not that close with Leclerc there.
No,
but
no.
Ferrari probably the biggest disappointment of the day, really,
they
based on...
Were, I think.
Yeah.
I said Oscar Piastri P1 in qualifying. I was less than a tenth out, sadly not. I said Oscar Piastri P1 in the Grand Prix. Sadly, that didn't happen.
Nope.
I said Lando Norris P2, though, so do we get a point there? And then I said Hamilton P3, which for a brief moment could have been a great call. But
it looked
it
quite good.
In that case, which is a bit sad.
Exactly. Exactly. Also, shout out to my prediction for Isaac Hadjar to be first retirement. Which
Yes, you got that bang on.
Proven before the race even started.
Yep. Fair play. I'll give you that one. There was a lot of credit there. I want to just quickly, briefly mention our Formula 2 and our Formula 3 predictions.
We just did championship predictions, didn't we?
We just
I haven't even seen what happened today. This more like overnight. So
Formula 2 didn't happen at all.
Okay.
So it was just the sprint. So Joshua Dirksen leads the championship there. Which you said Leo Fornaroli,
he wasn't in
Victor
my top
Martins,
three.
Gabrielli Mini. Which
and Martins was on pole briefly.
Martins
no, Mini
was
on pole briefly.
Mini was on pole. Mini was actually on pole and then got penalised. So it was Martins that was going to start from pole. Fornaroli did come P2 in the sprint, though, so he did pretty well.
There you go.
I said Boganovic, who finished 14th.
Did well, yeah. No, he qualified well, didn't he?
He qualified well, yeah. I said Arvid Lindblad, who came 10th, and Fornaroli, who, like we said, came 2nd. So not looking great there. F3, I think, was...
I have no idea.
Even worse.
I said Voisin, Ramos, and Bedrin.
Voisin, no. You mean?
Oh, is he not? Is he English?
Yes.
Oh, well, I thought he was
so
French, and I was being all cultural.
He is 13th overall.
Okay,
Santiago Ramos is 7th, because he did win the sprint.
Oh, well, that's looking good.
And Nikita Bedrin is... where is he? I've gone past him, apparently. 4th overall. So your top three so far you've
lovely.
Got in the wrong order. Which is quite good going.
Put
I said
one position off.
Yeah. I said Ugo Ugochukwu. I said he'd win it. He's 14th.
Nice.
I said Tuukka Tapanen. He is 19th.
Nice.
And I did say Stenshorn in P3. And he's 5th overall. And he won the sprint. Oh, no, we got... He got pole, sorry, and actually looked very competitive all weekend.
F3 names just look like you've got AI to do.
They are.
Up
they all.
Formula
most
drivers.
Of them feel AI generated this year, with a few exceptions. What else have we got to do, Jamie? Driver of the day for Formula One races, of course.
It's actually quite hard because there's a few options. I think
there are a few there.
But to be honest, all of them just like they did what they should have done and made the right calls. So
I think there's four I want to give a shout out to. It should actually be five, but yeah.
I'm tempted to give it to Lance Stroll because he's probably never had one.
I think he did. If it helps,
I think he did quite well. He got out of qualify there, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know,
and he was nowhere near Alonso.
Yeah, but he beat him. P6.
P6.
It was like a Germany 2019 for Stroll, wasn't it? Where he was awful all race and then just popped up in fourth.
Exactly.
I will be on my biased horse and give it to Nico Hülkenberg.
I think Nico Hülkenberg is one that definitely deserves a shout out.
Because it's probably their best start of the season.
Probably, yeah. Lando Norris, I think, you know, didn't really put a... Well, apart from the one little mistake he made.
Yeah.
Didn't put a foot wrong all weekend.
Neither did Max, apart from a small mistake.
Neither did Max, apart from, again, another small mistake. I personally, though, I'm going to say Kimi Antonelli.
Yeah, that's fair.
Confident all weekend.
16th to 4th
in the end. Was the only driver all weekend that looked prepared to make moves. I rate him. He did a very good job. Especially when every other rookie crashed at some point over the weekend. The fact that he made it through. Say, had a spin.
Tried his hardest to crash. Yeah.
But that is fine. Albon as well, I think, also deserves a shout out. Because everyone said Sainz is going to wipe the floor with him this year. And he's already 10 points clear, isn't he? 10 points clear. That might be more than Sainz gets all year. If that Williams
probably
is
not.
Just an OP track for them. But we'll wait and see. Race rating, Jamie. I believe that's the last thing we've got to do.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
It's always difficult at the start of the year because you don't know how good other races are going to be.
I think we put Japan as a 7 in 2020
last year,
didn't we?
Which was so overrated.
It definitely wasn't. I'm gonna be quite generous though because it was a good race from the point I stopped watching onwards.
Jamie just doesn't need to watch it. We get some bangers.
Yeah. Yeah, I left and it suddenly kicked off. I will go for an 8.
Ah, that's all right. Then I was going to give it an 8.
There we go.
I think that's fair. I think that's very fair then. Which is, I mean, to start the year, very, very good going. I think that's everything kind of we need to talk about. Is there anything else you want to add from this weekend? Obviously, Shanghai next weekend, sprint weekend. Going to be very weird watching a qualifying session on a Friday morning when I get up, which is quite funny.
Yeah, why not? When is the race next week?
7 a.m. So qualifying.
So the sprint is at 4 a.m.
Sprint quali is at 7:30. Sprint race is at 4 a.m. I won't be getting up for that. Real qualifying is at 7 a.m. or 8 a.m. It might actually be. I can't remember off the top of my head.
It's 7 a.m.
So a bit more user friendly or European friendly, I should say, this weekend. Apart from the sprint race, but nobody cares about the sprint races anyway.
I might not get up for the sprint. We'll see. Maybe I will.
I won't be getting up for the sprint.
Depends on the grid, which I also won't watch. But we'll get there when we get there.
You're not going to watch sprint quality at half seven?
Oh, I might. Is that a Friday morning?
It's Friday morning, 7:30. Fantastic.
Yeah, sure. I'll stick it on. I'll be up for work anyway.
Exactly. It's a good way to start your day.
That about wraps us up, doesn't it? My lighting has got worse and worse as the video's gone on, as the sun's gone down. But we move. You can barely see me at this point, but that might be a benefit. Right.
go to the audio show, all of our listeners. I mean, a massive thank you to everybody. Like I said, we've got a few things we want to do with the podcast in 2025, but I think that's a good solid way to kickstart the year. Thank you all so much for listening. Jamie, again, like I said, I genuinely want to just say well done on your marathon because I'm astounded.
Thank you. I'm gonna go straight to bed and not move a muscle.
I don't blame you. When do you fly home? When are you gonna record the Shanghai pre-show?
I fly back on Tuesday. This is real life admin, isn't it?
It really is.
Tuesday, so I can probably do Wednesday or Thursday morning. Thursday.
That's fine. Thursday morning. I'll try and get that out on Thursday then for all our listeners out there. But yeah, thank you all as always so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure you drop us a follow, drop us a sub, all that good stuff. And Jamie and I will be back later on in the week then. Shanghai preview. Formula One is back, baby.